Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. It's so good to have you here with us this evening. I'm here with my co-host, Ken Foster. And Ken, we've got such an exciting show tonight. I can't wait.
This is going to be a show filled with what I believe a lot of wisdom, and it's going to teach us a lot more about how to use our brains. So I'm really looking forward to our guest today.
Oh, yes. Neuroscience, in my opinion, is the hottest thing going on right now. I love what we're learning from it. I love the tools we're gaining from it. I mean, we can actually change our lives through changing our brain. And a couple of months back on the show, I had Dr. Sue Johnson, who's doing the neuroscience research on love. And one of the things she told me that blew me away was that the same part of your brain lights up when your partner rejects you as would light up if your life was being threatened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Explains a lot about why people get crazy when they're having a fight and they think they're going to lose the person they love.
Hmm. Takes them right to survival.
Yes.
Well, you know, the thing I'm excited about NeuroWisdom is that it can actually help you expand your consciousness and to reach deeper levels of empathy and inner peace and truly find some deeper meaning and purpose in your life.
Yeah.
So this is going to be an amazing show.
I think we need to bring in the expert who's going to teach us all about it.
I think we do, too. So let me introduce my friend and author of 14 books, Mr. Mark Waldman, including a best-selling book called How God Changes Your Brain, which Oprah selected as one of the 9 must-read books in 2012. Mark is on the Executive MBA faculty of Loyola Marymount University, where he teaches neuroleadership, and he's also on the faculty of Holmes Institute. He maintains an international practice as a neuro coach, and he now trains students in this unique evidence-based strategy for enhancing personal and professional development. I also want to mention this. His latest book is called NeuroWisdom, The New Brain Science of Money, Happiness, and Success. This book is a must-read for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, I'm so happy to have you on our show. Welcome.
I am so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Mark, I think we should just dive right in. I want to ask you, what is NeuroWisdom? We know it's the title of your new book, but what is NeuroWisdom? How do you define it?
NeuroWisdom is a specific term that we decided to coin based upon my and Andy Newberg's brain scan research over the past 20 years, where we've studied what goes on in the minds of Buddhists and nuns when they're contemplating, when Zen practitioners are staring at a blank wall, when Pentecostals are speaking in tongues, when people are channeling entities. We had Brazilian mediums in our laboratory. And so over these 20 years, what we've discovered is that there's a particular part of your brain that gets turned on when you're in these very deeply relaxed, self-reflective places. Now, the front part of our brain, the area right above our eyes, these are our prefrontal lobes. And this is where all of our conscious, everyday chattering takes place. You hear your worries, your fears, your doubts, your desires. I have to do this. I want to do that. I'm going to do this. The decision-making and planning parts of your brain. If you learn how to consciously turn off that positive and negative chatter, you can get in touch with and turn on deeper parts of your brain that don't even fully come online till you're like 28, 29, 30 years old. Now, the technical names for them is the anterior cingulate and the insula. But when these get stimulated through relaxation, through mindfulness, through meditation, through very profound self-reflection, through non-judgmental awareness of just watching your thoughts and feelings and memories and sensations flow in and out of consciousness, this part of your brain observes everything. It sees the way in which you're thinking. It sees the outside world, the best a brain can do. And it can whisper intuitive insights to you. If you listen, it comes across, not necessarily in words, but this is the inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm calling neurowisdom, that these are strategies that you can use to transform your thinking, your behavior, your awareness. It's incredible.
That's amazing. So, you know, Mark, I know that part of neurowisdom helps people to almost retrain their brain. And can they retrain their brain to generate wealth? I guess that's, I think a lot of people like to know that.
Absolutely. But everybody defines wealth differently. One of my favorite brain scan studies is that if you put somebody in an fMRI scanner and you flash the image of a single coin for less than 1/20th of a second, it actually stimulates the motivational centers of your brain. So we know from the time you are born that your infantile, childlike, greedy brain wants as much of absolutely everything it can. If you've had a kid and you give them a toy, they want another toy. They can have 10,000 toys. They want one more, another one, everything that's new, different, exciting. And we keep that part of our brain going all the time. In fact, we add to it. We not only want material wealth, we want social wealth, we want friends. And even the United Nations 2016 World Report on Happiness puts material wealth as the number one key for all forms of happiness, followed by social, basically it's called social income, having many friends and whatever else, and health and living in a democratic society. So there are other things as well. But yeah, your brain wants to be rich, inner wealth and outer wealth.
So the old adage, money doesn't buy happiness, isn't true?
It's absolutely incorrect.
There's been
40 studies over the last 15 years, and all of the newspapers keep printing the same thing. They say, well, money only buys happiness up to some particular point. No, it continues to grow. If you are making $100,000 and suddenly you're making $150,000, your degree of unhappiness decreases. Now, what's interesting is that the poorest people in the world, about 75% of the whole world is happy. That's also a surprise. So you don't need money to be happy.
Uh-huh.
And there is something more important than just happiness. There's a sense of profound, deep satisfaction. And here's what's interesting as far as the human brain is concerned. Everybody has a different inner value of what gives their life meaning and purpose. And again, the only way that you can access this is not by thinking about it or listening to a coach or an advisor or reading a book or whatever else. You again have to stop. You have to relax your frontal lobes through mindful yawning, super slow stretching. You want to contemplate on your deepest, innermost values. And then if you ask your intuition, that neurowisdom part of you, for an insight, you know, what gives my life the deepest meaning, the deepest purpose, the deepest value? Then little whispers begin to come in. And we do this exercise, you know, with everyone. I can do it with your entire audience right now. Everyone, all you have to do is to close your eyes, except if you're driving. We do have some neuroscientists.
Thank you for
adding. If you're driving, please don't do this.
Possibly occur if you do this while driving.
Yeah.
So don't close your eyes. But we ask you to listen to the sound of the bell. Ask you to do a few yawns and just notice how each yawn begins to change your consciousness right on the spot. Maybe stretch your body in super, super slow motion. The slower, the better. All of this brings you into the present moment, turns off the busyness in those busy frontal lobes that are constantly dreaming and worrying and fretting and planning and deciding. And now, take another yawn and ask your intuition. Some people call it their higher self. Some people consider it God. Ask this deep core part that we know will light up in your brain when you're focusing on God or love or kindness or compassion, and ask yourself, what is your deepest, innermost value? Your deepest, innermost value. And just pay attention to whatever pops into your mind, whether it's large or small, silly, it doesn't matter. Paula and Ken, what's the first words that popped into your mind?
Love.
Light. Light popped into
and mine. And mine was peace. But somebody else might be confidence or grandmother, because that person represented certain values that was meaningful for that individual.
I love that
now
exercise.
I did it with you, and it was that word.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So it sounds like, Mark, what we're doing here is in 60 seconds or less, we're changing our brains.
Yes, exactly. That one single exercise is enough to change the entire structure of your brain in a way that allows you to function better from head to toe.
That's all in our neurowisdom book. And so simple. And in the book, you give lots of exercises like that, don't you, Mark?
Over 100.
Oh, I am so excited about that. I can't wait to get that. I really want to not only be implementing those in my own life, but in the lives of my clients, because it seems Go ahead.
Now, one of the things we also realize is that when you read a book, what happens is that most people's brains go into passive mode, and you come along and you read an exercise there, and the exercise says, I want you to close your eyes for 60 seconds and yawn and relax. But most people, when they're reading, say, oh, well, let me see what comes next. So we tend to skip over those exercises. You need to have a lot of discipline to get an experience from a book. So in order to help with that way and to complement that, we created an audio program called NeuroWisdom 101 so that you can be guided through all of those strategies. And then you just sit back in your chair, do the exercises. Some are 1 minute long, some are 7 or 12 minutes long. And then throughout the day, you set a mindfulness clock onto your computer and you just take 60 seconds again to reflect on some of these NeuroWisdom exercises. And if we put you back in a brain scanner in 8 weeks, if you just do this for a few minutes each day, we'll see that you're feeling more self-love, more compassion for yourself and others. You'll feel more confident. You'll feel more serene. Your ADD-like thinking, you'll be calmer, more focused. It's amazing. And this is, again, the result of those 20 years of brain scan research that we have been doing and other people have been doing as well.
That sounds so remarkable. And I'm sure, like me, a lot of our listeners are going, how do I get a hold of that? Where can they find it, Mark?
Well, there are several things you can do. Obviously, you can order it from any bookstore or from Amazon.
Oh, okay.
But
good.
If you want a free taste of some of this stuff, if you go to my website, there's two ebooks. One's called 10 Mind-Blowing Discoveries About the Human Brain, and the other one's called 21 Neurotips for Achieving Money, Happiness, and Success. And so I'd love you to have these free ebooks. They're filled again with amazing insights and exercises that you can do. And there's even a free, interesting program that we created that will send you, I'll send you 21 days of NeuroWisdom exercises. So you get one each day in your email and you can practice it. Mm-hmm. So we just have all these different ways of audio programs and books and free books. Anything that we can do just to help to give you some of the best brain information out there, because unfortunately there's a lot of woo of people who think they understand brain science. In fact, most people, even when they quote our books, will get it wrong, because the brain is incredibly complex, and when we use language we have to make things a little oversimplified so that our stupid frontal lobes can understand them. But in doing so, we usually miss some of the subtle qualities that are going on in there. So you will get the best neuroscientific research in here, which is why I'm affiliated with three universities and teach there.
That sounds so great. And what is that website address?
www.markroberwaldman.com.
Okay, and would we you say that one more time, Mark?
www.markrobertwaldman.com, markrobertwaldman.com.
You know, I was really surprised to read that stress undermines all the brain processes. So this calming down thing is really critical, isn't it?
Yes. Stress, just waking up and being excited about something is stressful. But in the past, everyone had created stress reduction exercises that took you 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes
yes.
to do. And I teach, you know, executive MBA students. These are CEOs and managers running multi-million dollar companies. They're at work before they even jump out of bed. And we found out they're not going to take 20 minutes to do a meditation. They're not going
right.
to give me 5 minutes. But we did find that if we asked them to take 10 seconds to 60 seconds to just reflect on an inner value for the day, or to do one mindful yawn, or one super slow stretch, or simply to close your eyes and think about somebody you deeply love and care for, we found that not only would they do that, but for 8 years in a row, all of the students, when we polled them what was their experience, did you like this, did you hate this, did it affect your work, 90% of them consistently say every year, my stress levels go down, my work productivity goes up. Thank you.
That is so perfect. Such great information. Mark, the time has gone way too fast. We really need to have you back again because this is fascinating, fascinating material.
It's absolutely amazing.
Delighted.
And Mark, we really appreciate you giving this information. There's so many questions I wanted to ask you about, you know, I know you got a number of money games in your book on the neural wisdom. I know you have a lot of more wisdom to share with us. So maybe we can come back. I'm hoping you will say yes.
And we can do the crap board, where you
yes.
put all of your crap on a piece of paper. You put it on your piece of paper, then you yawn and mindfully gaze at it, and all of those worries and fears start looking like a bunch of words on a piece of paper, which is all they are anyway.
Oh, I love that. Okay, deal. So we need to have you back, and we'll do that very soon.
I'm happy to come back with my crap.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Mark. We really appreciate it. Okay, we are going to move into our next segment and just want to remind you this show is being brought to you by Sexton Advisory Group. And shortly, we're going to have Steve Sexton on our show in our last segment, so stay tuned. We'll
and
be right
Steve
back.
Steve will be talking about smart money. See you soon.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org. We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. I am so excited to introduce the guest that's going to be with us this segment. He actually, in my mind, has two personalities. There's Davide Di Giorgio. How is that? I say that with my while I'm channeling Italy. And then others out there know him as David Di Giorgio. Those who don't have the flair to be able to actually say his name correctly. And we are delighted to have him with us. Davide is a longtime theater producer, creator, director, educator, and an audacious entrepreneur. I love that one. I want to know more about that. He has an unapologetic approach that shatters the mold of the everyday kind of blueprint. He has systems and formulas that quickly have made him the go-to creative expert for on-purpose coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to deliver their message unforgettably in a different way so that their audiences will really remember them and that they will be they'll be standouts, right, David?
That's it. Absolutely.
Tell us, how do you perform that miracle with people?
Well, you know, that's a big question to answer. How much time do we have? You know, it really comes down. The one thing that I find myself saying over and over and over again to speakers is nobody actually cares what you're saying. The reality is...
Oh, would you repeat that one more time?
Nobody cares what you're saying.
So all the time I put into my PowerPoints and preparing doesn't matter?
Wait a second. No. Wait a second. You're telling me they don't care what we're saying today on our show? I don't believe that.
Well, but the reality is it's who you're being that actually converts. And conversion doesn't necessarily mean sales or dollars, but conversion means, are you building a relationship and building rapport with people out there? And it's really when you're speaking from a place of being and you're on purpose, people get it. When you're just speaking about something, you're just making noise. And there's a lot of noise in the world right now. So we certainly don't need more speakers just talking about or trying to funnel us down the sales path or, you know what I mean? The vision that speakers have in a lot of cases isn't big enough.
I like that because what I get, what you just said, is there's people don't need more information. They need a little more wisdom. And that wisdom comes from that authentic part of ourself. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And the reality is, I mean, Google has cornered the market on content. So if I need content, I can find it for free on Google. So then I say, what's the purpose of you as a speaker or as a, you know, entrepreneur who's using speaking in your business or whatever? Like, what are you bringing to the world? And it's the only answer is your unique personality is what brings the information to life so that you can transform and educate us.
And that's the connector, right?
Absolutely.
So if there's no, you're saying, I think, if there's no connection, there might as well be no speech.
Right. And who you are is the bridge to who they are, and that the connection. The what you talk about is not the connection, because we can get that from anyone, right? We can go
so
on the internet
true.
And get it nowadays,
so
right?
True.
So who you are makes the big difference.
That's really good. And you know, one of the platforms that brings out, I think, the best in speakers is the TED Talks. You and I were talking about that prior to the show. So let's talk a little bit about that. How do they get so out there? So their essence, the who they are, comes pouring through.
Because you actually do help people prepare for TED Talks, right?
Right, absolutely. I have a number of TED clients, and I'm a speaker coach for TEDx Cardiff by the Sea here in San Diego, and possibly another one, secret right now, but soon to be announced.
Excellent.
So TED, it's a big opportunity, and the reality is the people who do really good TED Talks and the ones that go viral, they've put a lot of time into it. There are some TED events that require you to sign contracts that you're going to put in 50 hours of time with their speaking coaches.
Wow.
50 hours. And if you go on the TEDx website, they talk about, you know, rehearsing your talk 50 to 100 times. It's really understanding the difference with a TED talk and why they're so compelling and why the platform has really exploded recently is that it's idea-driven talks. And the ideas, they're so compelling and people really work on what that idea is. And that idea connects to who you're being because you have to really believe it. Mm-hmm. Those viral talks, Simon Sinek's talk on why, it's in his DNA. He believes it so much that it doesn't matter if I believe it or not, but what you're witnessing is him standing so much in the spotlight, so much in his glory, that it gives us permission and the example of what it looks like to be so powerful. And that goes viral. People are attracted to other people. That's how you become magnetic, when you're really standing in your own power.
So it's kind of like what you're saying is a really good TED Talk produces an experience for
it's
the audience,
all
not just
about
give
the experience.
Them information.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. We're on brand now, Paula, because I'm all about, I call myself an experience alchemist because I take ordinary experiences and I turn them into the extraordinary experiences that move people into action. And I guess that's sort of the button on what I was just saying. Who you're being moves people into action. Mm. Who you're being inspires people to take action or to transform.
So you've been a speaker coach for many years. What are the key elements that usually show up time and time again that people have to work on?
So usually the biggest mistakes that I see speakers make are they jump into content right away. They say, what should I be talking about? So they're asking the wrong questions. You need to ask better questions as a speaker. You should be asking, what do I want them to do about it? In parentheses after the standing ovation, right? What do I want them to be inspired to do? And why am I speaking in the first place? And even more importantly, why should they listen? So when you understand the duality that you have to stand in your power, there's a lot of ego in speaking. I mean, it takes someone with a bit of an ego to stand on a stage in the spotlight and even do a TED talk on that red circle carpet to do that. But you have to understand that it's just as much about the audience as it is about you. When they see you shine bright, they understand, they get it. And there's a connection that's formed instantaneously.
And what stops people from shining brightly?
They get stuck in what they need to talk about and how to present. They get stuck in, what if I forget? They get stuck in, but I have my talking points. I have a sales pitch or whatever it is. They get stuck on the content. And the reality is, like I said, nobody cares what you're actually going to say. It's like, what's your vision? What's the bigger vision of what you're trying to create for the world? That's what's magnetic and compelling.
And if you have that vision, if you've asked yourself those questions ahead of time, then I would imagine you bring a different energy to the presentation,
right?
Exactly. Because you know from the beginning what that endpoint is that you're shooting for.
Right. And so understand, if your endpoint is, let's say, to get a standing ovation, because I always talk about that, and like, we want standing ovations. You know, as a former theater producer, I basically learned how to create a standing ovation, because if there weren't standing ovations, we all went bankrupt. The show closed and that was the end of it.
Sure.
So, but the thing is, and then what? Because if it ends at the standing ovation, we're not really transforming anyone. We're not changing lives. We're not changing people's minds. So you have to think beyond that moment. It's like, well, how do I get that person who's listening to it to become the ambassador of my idea and then to ambassador that out into the world? So it's really an idea of me to we in the audience and us together to them out there.
You know, I have a few of our audience participants right now. I'm sure they're listening to this and thinking, you know, I would love to be a speaker. I would love to be on stage. I'd love to expand and be brilliant and get a standing ovation. But they're kind of stuck in fear. How do you help people overcome that one?
I love fear.
You love it.
Oh, it's a great tool. So here's what we do. We redefine fear. And instead, if fear is fear of the unknown, not is something that's going to hurt us or scare us, what if we were redefined fear as an opportunity to have dialogue with the unknown? And then if we have dialogue with the unknown, what if the unknown actually was that you don't exit this world without the same standing ovation you got when you entered it?
Wow. Say that again. I got you.
Right. So what if the bigger fear is that you exit this world without the same standing ovation that you got at the moment you entered it?
So you're kind of saying, are you willing to pay the price of leaving the planet with your song unsung?
Right.
Because of this fear.
Right. Or is the bigger price to be paid that you don't change the trajectory of someone's life, that you don't transform someone, that you don't make a difference to someone? You know, I have a client who her first talk in front of people, are you ready for this? Is in front of 60,000 people.
Oh my gosh.
And it was really quick, because as soon as I shifted the conversation to what we just talked about, she thought, well, gosh, yeah, if I transform one person out of 60,000, it would be worth it. And you see, that changes. So then it changes how we show up. Because if every one person, because 60,000 people don't receive you, one person at a time receive you.
I see.
So that person, I'm just thinking myself standing in front of 60,000 people right now speaking, right? And eyeball to eyeball and making mistakes and tripping over my words and stumbling on the stage, you know, somebody booing me, right? How do we overcome all that stuff?
There's humanity in mistakes. There's humanity in stumbling. And again, like I said, stumbling and forgetting and the little mistakes happen when your vision isn't big enough. When your vision is, am I going to make mistakes? it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When your vision is, I'm going to transform people, I have this message that I have to like tear my skin off to get out to the world, It doesn't matter then. And people see a different version of you. And that is the version that does change the world.
So in our next segment, I'd love to talk to you a little more about that. But it feels to me, David, that what I'm hearing you say is, if it's all about you, you're in trouble. But if you make it about them, then you've got a shot at greatness.
Yeah, and to have balance in that. So because that's a mistake when you make it all about them, you don't give yourself permission to show up in your power.
Okay.
They need to see the example.
Good point.
There's a balance. It's just as much about you as it is about them.
Okay, let's get into that some more in our next segment. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio. We're sitting here with David DiGiorgio, and David is a longtime theater producer, creator, director, and master speaker coach. David, so excited we're still talking about some of the passion that you have about speaking. So let's talk a little bit more about passion itself. Talk to me what that means to a person that's on stage, or how do we use passion?
Passion is everything. Because without passion, we're just talking heads. And we've all seen those talking head videos. And I mean, especially in this digital marketer world, we don't need another talking head. You know what I mean?
So
like, it's impossible to, you know, and everyone's talking about funneling. And here's the beauty about speaking. Because here's my problem with digital funnels for the most part. The funnel, the marketing is better than the delivery in the end, the product. It never lives up. So what if, as a speaker, and this is what happens, you have the potential to turn the funnel upside down. You are the start of the funnel and your message broadcasts out exactly like what we're doing over here, right?
Exactly.
And you have the potential with your passion to impassion people and to create transformation. That is such an exciting idea. And when people really, instead of trying to attract people to them like that, is that you just become that magnet that creates that ripple effect that you funnel outwards, that you overflow onto people. Mm-hmm. It just changes the whole conversation and how you show up as a speaker.
And I would imagine for the audience, it changes the whole experience, because it reminds me of what you were saying earlier about working with people who are on purpose. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. When people ask me like who my ideal client is, I said it's the coach, the entrepreneur, the author, someone who is on purpose, which means bigger than just making money. If you have a bigger purpose, if you want to transform the world, if you want to do something big in the world, that's exciting to me. Because money, I mean, money comes and goes, right? Mm-hmm. But transformation is lasting, and there's a deep ripple effect on transformation.
You know, what I'm hearing you say is we're going from performance to passion and pizzazz.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah. And what's interesting is, so one of the objections people have with working with someone like me sometimes is, oh, but I don't want to be theatrical or whatever. I'm like, no, but when you're passionate and on purpose, the pizzazz, as you say, just comes out because you're someone different. You're up to something bigger, which is more compelling than just delivering content or a message.
You know, one of the things that always amazes me about TED Talks is they're only like, what, 18 minutes or something like that? And having done a lot of speaking myself, I know, boy, squeezing everything you want to say into 18 minutes. Do you like, I mean, is there coaching that goes on to actually like choosing every single word very carefully?
Yeah, and it's not microsurgery per se, but it's figuring out, like I said, the difference with the TED Talk is that it's the idea that becomes the through line that pulls people through the whole talk. Uh-huh. So when it's the idea, one idea worth spreading is TED's thing, right? What's your idea worth spreading? When you have one idea that is the through line for the entire talk, you're not worried about content and more talking points. And it's very simple. Mm-hmm. What's the idea? What do you want them to do about it? So, I mean, there are TED Talks that are 3 minutes long that have created big impact on the world.
Wow.
And so I really invite people into that idea. It's like 18 minutes can be an eternity of time if the idea isn't big enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's the core. That's the kernel it all grows around.
Yeah. Idea-based speaking is so compelling. And I love working with TED speakers and people who are putting on TEDx events because the idea, there's something about it. It's more exciting than just saying, you know, the typical keynote talk. But what's interesting is that I've committed myself to really creating idea-driven talks with all of my clients, even if they're using a speak-to-sell model. Mm-hmm. Because that idea is what will really get people not only to convert, let's say if you're selling something, which is great. I mean, business is business, but to also follow you for the long term. I joke with my clients and say, look, Paula, if in 10 years you want to sell earrings on QVC, when you become that idea entity, people, no matter what you're selling or what you're about, want to follow you because there's something about you that is really compelling.
Mm. Oh,
and you get known for your idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could see you on QVC selling earrings, Paula.
Not earrings, but definitely striking necklaces.
Striking jewelry.
Very striking jewelry.
So, David, let me ask you, I got so many questions to ask you, but how does a person get an opportunity to be on a TED stage? Is this what you specialize in? Can they connect with you on this?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is this. There are some people who are positioning themselves out there and saying, oh, you want a TED Talk? This is how you do it. And they're selling this as a product. And it's completely out of integrity. It just doesn't. The reality is there is no one right answer to this. If you want to get on a TED stage and speak on a TED event, develop your idea. Tell everyone. Mm. So even well-known speakers that I work with, I ask them, how many people know that you're actually a speaker? And every single time without fail, 99% of the time, they're like, oh, good point. Like, how many people do you have on your Facebook? and know that you're actually a speaker first. Most people bury it somewhere. They're like, I'm an author, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a coach, I'm a speaker. No, speaker first. I can hire a speaker. Mm. Mostly I can't hire an author. I definitely can't hire an entrepreneur. I don't even know what that means. You know, everyone wants to call themselves an entrepreneur,
right?
Especially in this part of the world. God bless the millennials. I love you all. But I mean, like, entrepreneur, call yourself a speaker. I can hire a speaker because then I ask, oh, well, what do you speak about? And then just to wrap up the whole idea about how to get on a TED talk, a TED stage, like I said, tell everyone, develop your idea. It's public information. Build relationships. Who are the people organizing TEDx events? Build authentic relationships. Go volunteer at a TEDx event. Go watch a TEDx talk and start making connections. We know that we like to work with people that we know, like, and trust, right? Mm-hmm. It's no different in getting a TED opportunity.
So how did you evolve? I'm dying to know. What was your original passion and is what you're doing, what you set out to originally do?
You know, as a boy, I had a purpose. And I veered off the path. And it's funny because I realized that I'm still doing the exact same thing. So I started as a composer. And I took blank pages And I turned them into musical masterpieces, and musical theater was my thing. So it quickly became a musical director. I published a musical when I was 19 years old in Canada. And I opened a theater company. So I was a theater producer, creator, pitched for television, all sorts of cool stuff like that. Then at the same time, I became an educator. So I was a head of a music department in a high school for 10 years. And because I had a hole in my schedule, I opened up a yoga studio.
Might as well.
Right?
Yoga
That's
fits
what
right
I
into
spare
this.
Time. Absolutely. So when all of that changed through an unfortunate series of events, I realized that what I wanted to do was work with people who are up to something big in the world. And so I take the best of performance production, education, transformation, and personal development, all of those things that I've done throughout my life, and I help people to deliver their goods, their message in a way that will absolutely transform the world. It's what I've loved my whole life. So now I'm just not working with singers per se. Mm-hmm. I'm working with people using language.
Mm-hmm. All right. You've convinced me. I want to work with you. I'm there.
Me too.
Let's tell our audience also how to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. So you can call me at 619-363-0568. I love connecting with new people. I've put together a great
Let me repeat that again. Yeah. It's 619-363-0568.
Yes.
Go ahead, David.
Thank
Sorry,
you for
to interrupt
that.
You, but I know
no,
some
yeah.
people are on the run and they need to hear that again.
Absolutely. And I put together a great little guide for your listeners. The three keys to becoming a TED-worthy speaker, and they can Ooh. Download that for free at unforgettableTEDTalks.com. That's unforgettableTEDTalks.com.
Okay. That sounds great. I'm going to be downloading that the minute I get home.
I am too. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, it's what's brilliant about you is that you're walking what you're talking about.
I was just going to say that.
You know, there's magic in the studio. There's sparks flying off your head right now. And Paula's just smile is so bright. it's real because you're real.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You have made a real impact. And you have really connected in a real way. You know, we will not be forgetting Davide DiGiorgio.
Thank
That's
you.
That's David DiGiorgio for some of you that don't speak Italian.
You Americans.
I love it.
But I love that you do walk your talk, that you model in life what you teach people.
Absolutely, and you have to. And as a speaker, I always say, look, the onstage part is one slice, is 1% of it. Or it's a large percent of it, but it's just a section.
Mm-hmm.
How you're being before you get on stage, after the stage, how you talk to everybody in the audience. Do you stick around? I always make this joke. Do you shake hands and kiss babies after your talk? People just want some time with you.
Yes.
Give them that time and you will convert a follower for life.
Mm.
You know, it's so simple. And I see speakers miss that all the time.
It's just human connection, right?
Human
That's
connection.
What I hear you saying at the core of all this. Human connection.
And it's human connection that is unforgettable. And that's what I say to people is like, how to be unforgettable? Just connect, build that relationship
yes.
and rapport.
Yes.
We're starving for it right now in this digital world. Mm.
That's great. And we're going to go connect additional connection with lunch with you, David. So that's going to be awesome. But I wanted to, again, give those numbers out one more time. To reach David by phone, it's 619-363-0568. 619-363-0568. And to get his special gift, we go to unforgettableTEDTalks.com. UnforgettableTEDTalks.com.
And thank you for helping us to know how to change our thoughts and change our brains around what we think we should do when we speak rather than what really works.
Absolutely.
You've been so helpful today, David.
Thank you, Paul and Ken. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. And coming up next is Money Sense with one of our sponsors, Steve Sexton. So stay tuned. He's going to be giving you some insights on how to really change your brain to have more money.
Woohoo!
We'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Candy Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? life transition coach and grief recovery specialist, Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. I am so looking forward to this Smart Money segment because we have our favorite money guy, Steve Sexton, with us of the Sexton Advisory Group, who brings this show to you today. Steve, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we've been talking through our whole show about changing your brain, changing the way you think, to change your image, to change how you're projecting yourself out in the world and how you're living your life. How can we tie that in with money?
You know what? It's really easy to tie it in with money, but people have a tough time with it. My wife and I volunteer at a farm that grows food for food pantries. And we met a military family up there, husband, wife, three kids. And we were talking afterwards and we were talking about where we're going this summer. And basically he takes his summer vacation with his family to this farm because they don't have any money. They don't have any money to go on a vacation. And he goes, oh, you have a whole bunch of money. You're a financial guy. You know what? You can always go. We can't. And I said, yeah, you can. He goes, how so? And I just started discussing with him. I go, tell me what you spend here. Tell me what you spend there. Yeah, you've heard the old Starbucks adage, but he was doing a Starbucks in the morning and his wife was doing three Starbucks a day, one herself and two at the office. So when you looked at that, you know what? We're almost looking at $25 a day that went towards Starbucks times 30 days.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
What is?
And then we started saying, I said, you got the football package? We started talking about cable TV. And I said, how often do you watch that stuff? He goes, oh, not really that much. Not since they, you know, Colin Kaepernick did the little genuflecting thing. you know what? He realized that they were spending like $230 a month and they could be spending about $60. Okay. I just said, let's just go through all your expenses. We figured out $1,500 we can take off as expenses on a monthly basis. And oh, by the way, they bought a Keurig and bought Starbucks K-Cups from Costco. Okay.
Oh,
so it saved them a ton of money, but they went through everything. But inside of 4 months, they were able to save the money to take their family of five on a vacation they hadn't been on in 5 years.
Wow.
He actually called me up in October just to thank me. And he was very, very emotional. He goes, I never thought I can do it. You know what? We have an account that we save for vacation once a year. We have an account that we save for emergency money, which we've never had. And now we found a way to where I can actually put money into my TSP account in the military. So it just completely changed his life, but he had to change his brain around and go, oh my God, I can do that. And you know what? I don't need that stuff. I really don't. And the reality is we do this every single day. And if you can sit there and detail what you spend and go, do I really need this or can I do it cheaper? It can make a big difference in your life.
So you're really talking about changing your consciousness about money. And you're saying that most people just aren't even aware. They're just kind of doing it on automatic pilot, not really thinking about what they're spending. Is that right?
That's true. And the other part of that is ego. It's odd that it's ego. Why do we say it's ego? I've met with many doctors, lawyers. They drive a nice Mercedes, live in a nice house. But you know what? If they got injured, all that would go away because they're trying to keep up with the image. The reality, at the end of the day, nobody cares what you have. It's who you are. And if you realize that and the people who love you for who you are and not anything else, you can say, you know what? I don't really need to spend that. And I really see this a lot in engineers. I know a number of people that are engineers that work for startups and have made tons of money. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They still drive that 14-year-old car because they just don't care. And the fact that they have three kids and a wife, they love them. They go to ballparks. They go to great vacations. They don't overspend or anything. They just, hey, let's be logical about this. Is it really worth the extra money?
Mm. You know, I know you come from a place of expertise in this area when we're talking about ego and lowering it and stuff, because I know you had a life-changing event in your life. And you really re-question everything. And so that's really what we're talking about, is helping people to re-question what they're doing right now. So tell us a little bit about
that. Well, you know what? 10 years or 10 and a half years ago, as you know, I went through colon cancer. And it was a pretty heavy-duty experience because I was in excellent shape and never thought I'd get colon cancer. But when I did, I come to realize there's a lot of people out there that didn't have their estate taxes. If they had passed away, if I had passed away, I would have left my wife a mess. And that would have been, you know, my kids and my wife would have owned the house that we live in just because my trust wasn't funded properly. And you know, a lot of people don't have that in place. In fact, 50% of people don't have a trust in place or properly funded. John Wayne did this. It took 21 years for his probate to be completed and he had a trust and it just wasn't funded right. It's crazy. And you know what? If you look at your taxes, you can find ways to stop that money that's falling through the cracks. And we started looking at, or I started looking at, how many different ways I can save people money or me money. And I applied it to myself and then I started applying to my clients. And if people start looking at this from a holistic, getting everybody to communicate, forget about the ego, you can really do wonders for yourself and others.
I love that approach. And that's one of the things I love about what you do, Steve, the way you do it in the Sexton Advisory Group, that you are looking at the whole person, the whole life, and trying to create the best possible scenario for people.
You know what? I was going to say, add one other thing. You know what? In San Diego, we have a lot of foreign nationals, resident aliens. They love having their money here in the United States. And I was just speaking with a gentleman on the phone earlier today. And you know what? He had a trust. And you know what? His basically, if he passes away, 40% of all the assets they have in the United States will be taxed. So this guy's worth $10 million. So his wife's going to have to write a check for $4 million just to stay in the house that they live in because he's a resident alien and he doesn't have the proper estate plan put in place. And he just thought because he had the lawyer and everybody say, hey, you're okay. And the reality wasn't okay because the lawyer didn't take into account that he was a foreign national essentially. So it's important to look at everything and get everybody to communicate. And again, those egos are the thing that kills.
You know, that part about getting everybody to communicate can be a big challenge. There are certain people that don't want to share their financial strategies or how much they have, right? How do you overcome that?
Well, you know what? We take it from a perspective of helping clients. We talk with estate planning attorneys, CPAs all the time, but we take it from the perspective of, hey, you know what? We're here to help Paula. And we'd like to get on the phone and ask each other a bunch of questions to make sure we're on the same page. And a lot of times I'll sit there with a CPA and say, what if we did this? What if we did that? And he'll go, oh, you can save them $14,000 a year that way. Okay, great. How do we put that in place and what's it going to cost?
Wow.
Or we'll ask an attorney. One gentleman we had a phone conversation with, and I said, you know what? He has 15 rental properties and he has a sole proprietorship business. Okay. I said, what if he gets sued from his business? What can they take? And he goes, well, all of his rental properties. And his business and his personal stuff.
Oh.
Whoa. Well, how do you protect against that? Well, you get an umbrella policy, or you can start separating these things into entities and have separate protection. So, you know what? Okay. So then we went back to the CPA and said, hey, what kind of tax savings do we get? Well, if we put all those properties in a LLC, guess what? We'd now be able to depreciate them. That's going to save them $100,000 a year just from depreciation. So, you know, you have these conversations and people start realizing, you know what, if I keep talking with these people, I can do a lot better for my clients. It's like taking it from a holistic approach.
I love that about what you do. And I can almost hear our listeners screaming, how do I find this guy?
How do I find him?
That's right. In touch with him and become his client? So how do they find you,
Well,
Steve?
They can either give our office a call at 1-800-560-2611. Again, that's 1-800-560-2611. Or they can call, or they can go to SextonAdvisoryGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N AdvisoryGroup.com.
Beautiful.
That's
and
great.
if you could give our listeners one or two tips right now, Steve, to, like you did to the, with the guy at the farm, you know, what's one or two simple things people can do to start saving more and being able to create something different in their lives?
The first and most important tip is understand what you're spending on. And why do I say that is because most people have a salary. They just go, they're used to spending what they spend and they never keep track of it. Mm-hmm. This is the time to take a look at that and see what you're spending on, because you might find out, hey, gosh, I didn't really need that. Why did I spend that? Mm-hmm. And if you can start checking yourself a little bit, not really putting yourself on a budget, but if it has no use to it, why spend it?
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to do is, in my house, you can look at our closet before I had cancer, and you can see all this stuff my wife spent on thinking she'd need it, and the reality, she didn't. And it just, you know, I mean, there's a whole closet full of it. And you know what? It all went to a garage sale, and guess what? We sold it at maybe 20% of what we purchased it for, and it only been used once.
Wow.
So you really have to think of the utility of things. That's one. Two, you should always understand what you're paying for things, whether it's your investments or not. If it's your investments, I had a wonderful lady, she's Georgia Peach, sweet, you know, means Mary Bell and the whole shot. when we did we kind of scanned her cart like you go through a shopping center, and we found out she paid $27,000 in fees on a $100,000 investment over 10 years. And that's just criminal in my mind. That's way too expensive. She should be paying less than half of that, way less than half of that. So it's important, if you know what you're paying for things and whether it's worthwhile, you can make some good decisions to save yourself money and prevent your money from falling through the cracks.
You know, I love that. And I've noticed recently myself, I'm paying for so many little things on the internet that I don't use. I'm going home and I'm going to scan through everything, Steve, and I'm getting rid of
great
Hulu
tip,
for one.
Great tip. All righty.
Do you hear that, ladies?
That's great. Okay. Well, thank you again, Steve, for
Thanks,
being
guys.
On the show. Really appreciate it. And coming up next week, we have Christopher Van Buren. We're going to be talking about personal transformation through identifying, solidifying, and broadcasting to the world your personal story by sharing your values and wisdom. I can hardly wait. Also, I want to remind our listeners to go to our websites, check us out, paulashaw.com and kendfoster.com. That's paulashaw.com and kendfoster.com. And of course, if you'd like to check us out a little further and some upcoming shows and get some of our past shows, go to transitionradioshow.com, where you're going to find out a whole bunch more about us. That's it.
And thank you all for being with us this evening. We'll look forward to seeing you next week on Transition Radio. Good evening.